Now it's time for the Coaches Show with Sterling head coach Clint Wiley on WSHS Sterling High School Radio with your hosts Rob Strauss and Tad Kozineski. And welcome to another edition of the Coaches Show right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss, Tad Kozineski, and joined as always by Sterling head football coach Clint Wiley. Coach, coming off of a shutout win, 28-0. Over Haddon Heights, first road game of the season, and a pretty convincing victory there, Coach.
Yes, Rob. Very exciting win, too. It's the first time we beat them since 2006. So it was huge for our kids to come out and play like they're capable of playing. The one thing I was proud of, I think we've improved. We improved from week one to week two. We hardly had any penalties, no turnovers, and you know, we played sound Sterling football, and we took the field with an edge. You know, anytime you go on the road for the first time, you're always concerned, are the kids ready, especially throwing a Saturday game? Are they ready to prepared and focus on the task in hand? And I think our kids took the field, and we scored 14 points in the first quarter. And like I stated earlier, it's the first time we beat Haddon Heights since 2006, so our kids were really focused.
You talked about penalties and turnovers, which have been great for your team. I mean, Mr. Schultz had commented during the game, the lack of penalties on your team, tremendous. Is that just a result of the cards you're dealt, the kind of kids that you're with? And yeah, I'm asking as much as a college coach, too. I mean, there's only so much you can set the tone. Talk a little about that, how you what you can do from a coach's standpoint when
it comes
to penalties.
Well, Tad, like we talked about you know, a couple weeks ago, it's a different group of kids we have here now. These guys have been in this program for 2 years, going on a third year. I think they're focused. They're selfishless. They're a team. They're not individuals. And they do what we ask them to do. There's a lot of things that we do during practice that focus on attention, paying attention to detail, by going on two, going on three. We do a perfect sprint at the end of the practices, which is basically the kids follow commands and they have to pay attention. It's pretty unique. I mean, it's a unique thing that we started at Villanova and I brought over here at Sterling, is our perfect sprints. We make a command, then the kids make a command. They're in 11 lines. And then when we make another command, they have to all get in a football position, their wrist below their knees, and then they have to run up 5 yards, wait for the next whistle, and then they sprint for 20. And so it's a way of conditioning, but also having the kids stay in focus and make sure they're paying attention to the detail. And I think that's what's really helped us a lot, too, and because it's a team thing. And all you need is one coach to put a thumb down for one guy out of those 50 to mess up. They have to repeat those perfect sprints. So overall, I think it's more the kids buying into it and working hard and understand, hey, focus. Each week we've played so far, it's not about our opponents. It's about Sterling High School. We always say, if you can come out, no turnovers, don't have any penalties, and, you know, win on third down, you got a chance of winning football games. And that's what we've done the last 2 weeks.
And you mentioned no turnovers. You guys did have, I believe, your first turnover of the season against Sterling, and it was that second down play where you guys were going with the sweep to the left-hand side. Just looked like a miscommunication between, I believe, Devon Tucker and Zaire Gibson. Can
Correct.
You talk a little bit about that?
Yes. I forgot all about it.
Sorry to bring that out.
No, that's all right. So you're exactly right. We had one turnover. You know what? I put the blame on me on that one. You know, when you're winning 14-0 in the second quarter, you know, you try not to, you know, put the ball on the turf. And, you know, if I had to go back and redo that again, I always say that's on me. I don't know if I'd make that call. But, yeah, there was a miscommunication in the huddle. Was it called a fullback toss or a regular toss? So if it was a regular toss, it was supposed to go to Zaire. If it was a fullback toss, it was going to Devon. And at that point in time, Matt tossed it to Zaire, assuming that Zaire knew it was going to him, but he thought he heard the fullback toss. So the thing that – I mean, things happen for a reason. And the nice thing that happened there was they got the ball on their 10-yard line. It was a defensive chance to go out on the field, set a tone, you know, ring the bell. Like we said, next round's up. You got to be able to play no matter where that ball's at on defense. And our kids came out and responded, and we held them to 0 points because our backs were against the wall right there because our offense turned over. And that's how we talk about how it always relates together. Offense helps defense, and defense, vice versa, can help the offense and special teams. And that was nice, putting our kids in a bad situation. But I don't want to do that week in and week out. But they responded really well on defense with holding them to 0 points.
I want to go inside the coach's head for a second. Mm-hmm. Before halftime, you guys are pretty much dominating the game.
Yep.
It's 14-0. The fan says, let's go, let's score some more. Mm-hmm. How hard is it as a coach to say, you know what, 14-0 is fine. Let's take it easy. Let's get into the locker room. Let's not give them anything to get excited about.
that was going through my head, especially when I called the toss play, when the ball was on. We put the ball on the ground. I mean, I was blaming myself for that more than the kids because I gave them the opportunity. I gave them the ball on a 10-yard line. And that's what you struggle with as a coach. You always want to continue to score. But at the end of the day, I thought we were controlling the line of scrimmage. I thought our defense was playing exceptionally, really well. And I was fine going in with a 14-0 halftime lead. And
do you have an urge in there that says, you know, because as a fan, again, we're not coaches. Mm-hmm. As a fan, we're saying, we can do this here. Yep. So, I mean, you're really wrestling inside your head trying to figure out what's the right thing to do.
You're exactly right. And that's the thing, you have to be smart. You got to understand how your kids are playing, especially on defense. If you're playing well on defense, then control the clock. If you're struggling on defense, if that's a 28-14 game, then we got to continue to try to score. Because then we're saying, hey, you know what, we're not doing well on defense. We're giving up points. We got to try to outscore them instead of winning the game on defense. But whereas, you know, last Saturday, you know, our defense was controlling their offense, and we were up 14-0. So I should have been happy going in 14-0.
Agreed.
Talk to us a little bit about Marvin Jones. You guys, it looked like you guys were trying to get him incorporated into the offense a little bit more with the looks like the couple fades and going off to the left and the right sides.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was complete, but it looked like he was a foot and a half out of bounds. But talk to us a little bit about how you guys are going to incorporate him more into the offense over the last couple weeks.
Yeah, we're really trying to get Marvin involved in the offense. And like I stated earlier to you, Marvin had a great summer. He had a great camp. He had two great scrimmages. I mean, one scrimmage, he had five catches. Since our first two games, we've been struggling getting him the ball or giving him a chance to make plays. And that's what part of learning, educating your quarterback. What we're doing is we're throwing the ball 20 yards down the field, whereas Matt should be trying to throw the ball anywhere from 10 to 12 yards. So now we're using Marvin's height. When you try to throw it out there and the receiver's running, he just sticks his arms out, catches it, and continues to run down the sideline. You're not using the kid's height advantage. It really doesn't matter if that receiver's 5'2" or 7'2". And what we're trying to educate Matt on is we have a 6'5" receiver out there. It's okay to throw it short. Like the catch that Marvin made, it was short. You know, Marvin went up, bobbled a little bit, then he came down with it. Like, to me, you got to give your 6'5" receiver an opportunity. So it's better to err on throwing the ball short with some height on it so he can go up and grab it. And that's part of the learning experience. Those guys are working extremely hard. Matt grabs Marvin after practice for the last 10 minutes, and they work on just those fades. They work on slants. They work on jump balls, especially when we're down in the red zone, the black zone area. You know, that's where we're going to try to use Marvin a lot.
And I think that's really good that, you know, as a coach, you're doing what you can, because my experience in watching these South Jersey high school games, especially when we look at the game two games from now, when two teams are even, it comes down to what can your team do different that the other team can. And we saw it a lot in the Haddon Heights game. Most times they had eight men in the box.
Yep.
And they're saying, all right, we're gonna do everything we can to stop this phase of the game. Can you talk a little bit about, I guess, as we move the season along and you're getting against these equal matched opponents, you almost have to develop something, whether it be through the passing game or something that they haven't seen on tape in the running game, to set yourself apart.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about that, because that's been my experience in broadcasting these games when it comes down to the big games at the end.
You're exactly right, Tad, because the nice thing is we do have a nice running attack. We got three or four kids who can carry the ball. So next week and the week after, we're going to start seeing 7, 8, 9 guys in the box. And that's what teams end up doing, like we did against West Effort last year. We put 9 guys in the box, and we said, hey, if you're going to beat us, you got to throw the ball. That's what teams are going to start doing to us, and that's what we're trying to continue to develop, working on it in practice, and trying to open up a little bit on Friday night also. Because the big thing is with these kids developing is if we have that weapon of a 6'5 receiver or a 6'2 receiver in Julian and we throw the ball, that opens up the run game. That's how they work hand in hand. And we have to continue to work because, like we mentioned earlier, we're going to have to throw the ball. You're going to have to throw the ball. So we got to continue to work on that and continue to grow with Matt and our receivers working together and our running backs. I mean, our running backs can catch the ball really well. I mean, Richard Carter out of the backfield had a nice little catch for about 8-9 yards the other day. So we're growing. I mean, we're very, very vanilla in our offense right now. I mean, especially on defense. We're not showing a lot. And one thing I like is we're not doing a lot on defense or offense, but our kids are performing. So it goes back to, hey, let's not do so much and have our kids have a better understanding of what we're asking of them so they can go out and just play football instead of thinking. Because the last thing you want to do as a coach is have your kids out there thinking. It slows them down. So what we started day one at camp is basically what we've been doing these last 3 weeks. And hopefully our kids are continuing to grow, and we're seeing that. And then it's part of our jobs as coaches continue to educate them on the game of football, understand how teams are going to try to defend us, how teams are going to attack us, and then us go out and react. I mean, the other night we held Haddon Heights to under 100 yards of total offense. We played one defense, and we played zone. I mean, normally in the last 2 years you've seen our defense, we bring six, seven guys after the quarterback, and we blitz all the time. Well, these last 2 weeks and even tonight, we're going to bring three or four guys, and we're going to sit back in coverage, and we're going to tackle well. And that's giving our kids an opportunity to make plays in space where it's going to happen. We're going to need those kids to make those tackles in space when we're playing a West Effort or Haddonfield, a team that spreads you out and still runs and throws the ball.
Speaking of your defense, Coach, you had some really good defensive stands over the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And more notably, we said this name, these two guys' names a couple times during the game against Heights was Anthony Pulesky and Brian Mahadio. Mm-hmm. Just had some really key sacks and third down positions that stacked them back. They were already second and long, and now it's third and even longer. Talk a little bit about, I know Pulesky won the defensive lineman award or a lineman award.
Yep.
And now Brian Mahadio coming in had a couple sacks as well.
Yeah. Two kids that play with a high motor, and we always talk about, you know, you control your energy, you control your momentum, you control how hard and how fast you play. And those two kids got a motor that doesn't stop, and that's what we preach all the time. I've seen a huge improvement in Brian and Tony from last year to this year. Now they're getting some confidence, they're getting that little swag to them, and hopefully they go out and continue to play. The reason why we've been playing so well on defense is because of our front. With JT Thompson, Brian, Tony, some other guys that come in and spill those guys, give them a break. I mean, we've been able to control the offensive line up front, and those guys have been freeing up for our defense, our linebackers, and our secondary. And that's the one thing that's nice. The other thing is, too, I mean, talking about from week one to week two, improving. I mean, a young man who started, you know, I mentioned him last week, Sammy Messina, he started as a freshman against Haddon Township. Didn't have the best game. It was his first game, a lot of nerves and all that stuff. But from week one to the Haddon Heights game, he had 10 tackles. He had two sacks and three tackles for a loss, and the kid made a lot of plays in space. And that's just the development we're hoping. And there's a young man who we're going to have for the next 3 to 4 years that we hopefully continue to improve. And that's what we're looking for in all of our kids. But our defense played well, but it all starts no matter what kind of team you have. If you have a team that can control the ball, it all starts up front with your offensive line and your defensive line.
So I'm going to go back to offense. I'm an offense guy. I like offense. I was very impressed. I don't know if it was early in the second half. I guess it was 14-0. We talked about at least 8 in the box, if not 9. And it looks like you changed your approach a little bit on offense. I guess you went to misdirection plays. Mm-hmm. And I think the first one you called may have gone for a touchdown or a long run. Can you talk about what you were seeing leading up to that point and what brought the changes on? And what exactly were the changes for our fans listening along here?
Yeah, well, Tad, you're talking about Richard Carter on the misdirection play. I think he went 46 yards for a touchdown. What we saw in the first half, and we made adjustments at halftime, was we were running the ball a lot to our tight end, and then, you know, they had like 8-9 guys in the box. And so we decided in the second half to open up the pass game a little bit. That's why we were throwing the ball a lot more to Marvin, open it up, and then the misdirection, because they were playing so hard to our alignments by our offense, by our running backs. Our running backs were shifted over to the tight end. They were shifting their guys over, and it made them weaker on the open side. So that's when we started running some of the misdirection stuff, which opened up, and then Richard had a great run, and the kids up front did a good job of blocking for him.
Now, is that something somebody upstairs see, or you have you have limited time to get together? But how does that come about? Let us know how that comes about.
Well, the process goes, we have coaches upstairs. We have three coaches upstairs on the headset, and they're always communicating with the coaches down. We got six guys down on the field with headsets, and we're always communicating to those guys upstairs. And those guys upstairs are basically, when we've got the ball on offense, they're sitting there watching the front. Coach Carletti's watching how the defensive line and linebackers are attacking us. Coach Musso is watching the secondary, how they're defending us. So they did a great job on Saturday of communicating. Hey, listen, they're overshifting, misdirection, trap. Coach Carletti called the trap in the first quarter when Zaire hit it for like, I think, 12, 13 yards for a touchdown. Just how they were moving around, because each after each play, they were taking their defensive tackles and they were moving them in the A gaps, and then sometimes they were moving out the B gap alignments. And it's tough to see when you're over on the mm-hmm. sideline, especially when you're only 5'10". You can't really see out there. So those guys are basically our eyes, just like when you listen to the radio. You guys are the voices of everybody trying to paint the picture for everybody. That's what those guys upstairs are doing, because especially on the far side, we can't see, so they have to communicate through us all the time, yelling out, okay, tight end up top, they're in I formation, they got twins to the boundary, you know, away from where we're at on the sideline. So they're basically communicating through us, I mean with us, to let us know what's going on, especially to the far sideline away from ours.
Sticking with the offense, Coach, take us back to 4th-and-3, mm-hmm. late in the game, fourth quarter. Call a timeout, and you reach into your bag of tricks and pull off the halfback option pass. Yeah. What was the thinking behind that?
Well, you know what I said. We ran toss a few times, and they did a good job of stopping us. And then I knew they were going to bite on it, and I called the toss. And then when we broke the huddle, I was like, I better call timeout to make sure we understand. I mean, we called the pass. I mean, you know, but I called the timeout just to double check to make sure we knew who we were blocking and what we were doing. And it was great. I mean, Zaire did a great job of selling the run. Everybody up front did a great job of selling the toss. Julian did a stock and then released. He was wide open. No one was near him. I think it was a 30-yard touchdown pass by Zaire.
Yeah. How often do you guys practice that? At practice?
Yeah.
I mean, how many different, you know,
well, we
scenarios?
Got about 4 or 5 trick plays that we practice probably about 2-3 times a week. You know, on Thursday's the big day, trick day.
Different situations as well, like the fake punt or the fake field goal, whatever the case is.
And we let the kids kind of come up with some plays, you know, let them be a little bit creative and see what they can bring to the table. And, you know, like anything else, you're just trying to make it fun for the kids. But they love the trick plays. And 9 times out of 10, you run a trick play, it works. You just got to have the confidence to call it. That's the key, you know. And especially in a situation like that, on a 4th-and-2, when 9 times out of 10, you're running a football, and then we're trying to use our speed to our advantage. I mean, the corner came screaming up, the free safety ran the alley down. And as you can see, Zaire was 30 yards in the end zone, nobody near him.
And again, you mentioned that was a great fake by your running back. I mean, he had us fooled, and he was running. He's running, all of a sudden, he just stopped. And I was like, whoa, what is this? So I've seen it in other games where they hand off, and the kid pretty much goes in the path. So I mean,
to coach that up.
And it's good that you know mm-hmm. The kid wasn't too excited. You called the time. I mean, that's very good coaching on your part. All right, guys, here it comes.
Yep.
Remember what we're doing. Remember mm-hmm. what we're not doing.
Right.
And it really showed, because it fooled us on the home side of the field.
Zaire did a great job of selling it. And like we said before, man, the play's on him. If you sell the run, they will come up, and that will open it up for you. And he did a great job with that.
And that actually closed out the scoring for the game. That 23-yard touchdown pass from Zaire Gibson to Julian Blackshear, corner of the end zone. Nobody was even near him. And you guys go on to win 28-0 and improve the 2-0. So, again, congratulations on the win there, Coach. We're going to get off to a very quick break here on the Coach's Show right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Get back, talk to Coach Wiley about tonight's contest against Lindenwald. Once again, you're listening to the Coach's Show right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. We're back right after this.
Are you looking to get fit or stay in shape, but don't want to pay for a gym membership? Then the Sterling Fitness Center is for you. If you are a resident of Laurel Springs, High Nella, Magnolia, Stratford, Summerdale, or have children who attend Sterling High School, the Sterling Board of Education invites you to enjoy our newly renovated, state-of-the-art fitness center located at Sterling High School on Warwick Road in Summerdale. Hours of operation are Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5:30 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. and Tuesday and Thursday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. If you're interested or have any questions about the fitness center, contact Athletic Director Matt Sheehan at msheehan@sterling.k12.nj.us or by phone at 856-784-1333. Please indicate what day and time you would like to attend with your name, address, and phone number. Stay local, stay fit, the Sterling Fitness Center.
Sterling High School's number one priority is the safety of its students and staff. On behalf of Sterling High School, we here at WSHS Sterling High School Radio like to give some reminders on general safety. Please remember to use crosswalks outside of the school to help prevent any unlikely accidents. Also remember to keep your lockers and gym lockers locked at all times to protect your possessions. If your locker isn't locked in the locker room, someone can easily take your belongings, and since there are no cameras, the items stolen will be gone for good. To prevent any fights in school, you should always be respectful of others and stand up for people in need. This message has been brought to you by your friends here at WSHS Sterling High School Radio.
And welcome back to the Coach's Show right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio. Rob Strauss, Tad Kozineski, and Sterling Head Football Coach Clint Wiley. And Coach, you're 2-0. You're going in to your second home contest of the season. Lindenwald coming to town 0-2. Just got the doors blown off of them by West Effort 60-0 just last week. And talk to us a little about Lindenwald. We've had some issues with Lindenwald in the past where we actually, I believe, Ted, we went there a couple years ago.
Yeah, my first year
down, Yeah, it came out, came down to the very last play of the game. And I, was that Marcus Taylor, Coach?
Yeah, Marcus Taylor threw it to Q-Mac. Yep,
for the, Premier for the Mac, game
for a touchdown winner with like 30 seconds, less than 30 seconds left. You know, it was a game, like we talked before, Rob, tonight's game is about our team. It's about Sterling. It's not about Lindenwald. It's about us going out, executing what we ask him to do. No penalties, no turnovers. Let's get off the field on third down. Just like 2 years ago, and we reminded them, trust me, we reminded them how last 2 years ago when we went over there, their place, we moved the ball up and down the field. But then we have penalties. We turned the ball over. We gave up big plays on defense. And then I believe we scored less than 30 seconds ago, I think, to win 14-13, I think. But it was an exciting game, but it shouldn't be that way. You know, and that's where we've really grown. And hopefully tonight we go out and continue to do what we've done the last two weekends. And hopefully our kids come out and perform well. Because we talk about all the time, this is your home. Sterling High School is our home. This is our baby. We have to protect it. And for us to win a championship, you always got to win at home. And so this is our third payday. And, you know, we always talk about getting paid on payday. Well, tonight's our third third opportunity to get paid. We got paid for week one and week two. Now we need to get paid week three.
Now, how tough is it with young players? Because they're looking at this and going, Lindenwald, they're looking at the scores. How tough is it, first of all, this week in practice? Tell us what it was like. And then you have a week off and then the big game sitting there. So this is tough for high school kids mentally to say, how do we get ourselves ready for a team that
like, – Well, we preach all the time – this is the biggest game right now. We always say, why is this the biggest game? And they always say, because it's the next game. And that's what you try to do as a coach, instill in them that how important every game is. Football is a special sport. You work year-round. You only get 10 paydays if you're lucky. And so you can never look ahead. Now, it's easier said than done as a coach. You know, and that's the thing you have to continue to educate these kids on is, hey, listen, focus on the task in hand. We have a game tonight, and then we have a bye week, and then whoever we play after that, we'll focus about that next week. We also have been reminding them all what happened 2 years ago at Lindenwald. This has been a tough week of practice because we've been tough on them as a coaching staff. And the last thing we want our kids is walking out there thinking they're 2-0, you know, they're the best team in South Jersey, and I feel this is where we have to earn our monies as coaches this week to make sure our kids realize, hey, you're 2-0, you got one more game and task, and that's all you focus on, that one game at a time. So we've been really hard on the kids this week, and for a reason, you know, because the last thing you want your kids to do is go out there thinking they're a lot better than what they really are and looking ahead, like you just mentioned, and then you come out and you get upset. You know, I mean, this is a game that we need to be focused, and like we say every week, you focus on Sterling football. Don't worry about who we're playing. You focus on what we ask you to do, then we should be all right.
Would you consider this a trap game as a coach?
Yeah, as a coach, yeah. But, I mean, as our football program, no, it's not a trap game because we're still working to get where we want to do. We want to be an elite team. We want to be a West Effort. We want to be a Haddonfield. And these are the things that we continue to instill in these young men. And then for them to understand each game is the biggest game of your career because it may be your last game. And that's what we preach all the time. You always remember your last game, no matter if it was high school or college football. It's your last game, and you got to give everything you got. And the last thing you can do is look beyond a team you're playing tonight.
I know you're not going to tell us the game plan. I don't expect you to tell us the game plan. But what are some things you're looking for from your team offensively and defensively coming into this game? What are you trying to accomplish? Also with the fact knowing that Haddonfield's probably going to be watching there, looking at this tape. What are we looking to
accomplish? You're going to see the same offense you saw the last 2 weeks. I mean, we're not going to show a lot. We're going to try to establish running the football, controlling the line of scrimmage up front. We're going to hopefully throw the ball and work on our passing game too at some times. I think they defensively give you some opportunities to throw the ball because they're going to play man-to-man. They're going to play 9-10 guys in a box. You're going to see one guy over there 2 inches away from Marvin or Julian, who's ever out there, and nobody in the center field. And they're going to say, bring it. You know, we're going to try to stop the run. You're going to have to throw it. 10 guys blitzing. They're going to blitz a lot. So I'm just more excited about seeing how our kids handle this situation because they may be 0-2 on with their record, but they're a team that they're aggressive. They blitz well, and they have athletes. So at the end of the day, it's more about I want to see how our offensive line handles situations where guys are blitzing left and right of them, and if they remember their rules and their assignments and they block up who we need to block up. Because what they're doing, Lindenwall, with their pressure, if we block a guy, we may hit the crease. There's no second level. You know, you're going to see 9-10 guys within 4 or 5 yards of our offensive line, and you're going to see nobody in center field there. And then offensively, I mean, with our defense, their offense, they have a quarterback who's been starting as a freshman who can throw the ball. They're going to go 4 wide receivers, which we've seen the last 2 weeks against Heights and Haddon Township, and they're going to try to throw the ball. And they're going to run screens, and they're going to use a little bit of their run game inside. But they're more of a pass-first, run-second team.
Coach, tell us a little bit about how you guys go about scouting other teams. If Lindenwald is playing on a Friday night, we're playing on a Friday night, how do you get your coaching staff out to these games, and who do you assign to that, and how do you get all that information and then come back and analyze it?
Yeah, here's what we do. I'm a little bit different. I feel our coaching staff puts in enough time and hours throughout the week that they should be at the Sterling football game. I don't send coaches out if we played like last week. We played on Friday. Lindenwall played on Friday. Last week we played Saturday. I'm sorry. But say we played Friday night and Lindenwall played Friday night. I'm not going to send coaches over to watch them. We're going to get the film from Lindenwall because we exchanged our last two games. But I just feel if a coach is putting in so much time into our players, into our program, and away from his family, then he should be here on Friday nights enjoying our rewards and being a part of it. Now, if we play on, like last week, we played on Saturday. Well, my whole coaching staff was over at Haddonfield last Friday watching the game. I sent two coaches over to Lindenwall West Effort game. You know, so there's what we're going to do. Like tomorrow I'll be at the Overbrook West Effort game at 10:30 watching them and scouting them. We'll also send guys the film. But our conference policy is you get two previous games. So Lindenwall, we had to send them our Haddon Township and our Haddon Heights. But I'm just a believer in, hey, you know, we all work so hard. Let's enjoy it. What's it about? It's about Friday night, you know, being here, being a part of our team. I just don't believe in sending my coaches if we're playing somewhere else.
How about special teams? Talk a little about special teams. I think that's been a huge factor, 3 phases of the game. Mm-hmm. You talked about it before. How's that come along so far overall?
All right. I mean, I thought our kids performed pretty well last week. I think we need to improve. That's the one side of the ball I didn't see huge improvements from week 1 to week 2. You know, we talk about, hey, that's when from week 1 to week 2 is where you can see a lot of improvements. We need to do a better job in coverage. We spent a lot of time this week working on special teams, especially our kickoff team and our punt team and our field goal team. I mean, we worked a lot this week. We spent probably about 10, 15 more minutes more of practice on special teams because we need to continue to grow.
Field goal, you mentioned. Mm-hmm. If we ever come down to where we sit right now today, chances are you might not need it this week. But what's the coach's comfortable distance if you want to line up
20
for field
yard goals? Ball being on a 20-yard line, which gives that a 37-yard field goal.
Oh, so you're comfortable? Wow,
very comfortable. Yargin, he's doing really, really well. There's a young man who works hard in the weight room, has put on about 15 pounds of muscle. He's a wrestler, tough, hard-nosed kid who's handling all of our kickoff duties, and he's kicking field goals. I mean, he's got a nice leg on him, and it's a nice weapon to have. And then we always preach all the time, you never know. If you can kick the ball, man, it may get you a scholarship in college. You never know. And Yargin's worked hard, and he's only a junior, and he has a strong leg.
And I think back to some of the big games over the years, especially in the Colonial Conference, and I think a lot to Paulsboro.
Yeah.
Paulsboro has – I'm going to use the word squeaked. I don't like to use that with coaches, but that's been that little edge in games that – maybe we won't see it this week, but maybe at some point in the year, if you have the confidence in them, I mean, going to be a huge factor for you guys.
Without a doubt. I always say Paulsboro and West Effort always have good kickers, you know, and I recruited a kid when I was at Villanova from West Effort, you know, a guy who can go over and kick the ball, and you never know, may earn you $300,000 in a scholarship one day, but it's the first time since I've been here that we've had a soccer-style guy been able to kick the ball. Last year, remember, Marcus handled the job of kicking. He had a great year, especially punting. He averaged over 42 yards a punt. But we had to go out and buy him the old-fashioned cleat that had the toe cut off. Remember the old block? That's what we had. We had Marcus just take one step and boot it. Like, remember what was the toy we played when we grew up?
Super
used to
toe.
Hit him on the head.
Yeah,
right. Bang it on the head and just raise that foot up. That's what we did last year with Marcus. But now we got Yargin, who's a soccer-style guy who's kicking extremely well and is a great weapon to have.
Kind of like the X factor, so to speak.
Yeah.
And when you talk about the offense and defense and special teams checkoffs, I mean, that's one of those special teams things. You can say, all right, maybe we have a little bit of the edge here. And it, like Tad said, might come down to it, a 30-something yard field goal, and you have the confidence in them.
That's right. Yesterday we finished practice with a 32-yard field goal to beat Lindenwall. And he made it, which is good. So hopefully that carries over Friday night. Good.
And looking ahead, kickoff coming up in a couple minutes here. Your outlook for the game, who are you looking to work? Obviously, you have Zaire Gibson and Richard Carter, both with 3 touchdowns each, having a phenomenal season offensively and defensively. And you know, talk to us a little bit about what to expect tonight in terms of just doing the right things tonight.
Right. I mean, I expect our offensive line to control the line of scrimmage, and I hope to see big things out of Devon Tucker tonight. I think he's back to close to 100% finally. And I continue to hope Zaire and Richard continue to run as well as they have been running. Vermeer Jenkins doing a really good job of blocking. I like to see Matt and Marvin get on the same page tonight. Defensively, I like to see our guys continue to get off blocks and make, you know, tackles in open space and not give up the big plays. And come out and play Sterling football with no penalties and stay focused on task. And remember, this is the third payday. We're at home, and we have an opportunity tonight. If we win, we go 3-0. It's the first time since 1993 here in Sterling history to go 3-0. So, I mean, these are things the kids know about, and we've been drilling in their heads. And, you know, like last week, you know, it was 2006. That's all we talked about. 2006 was the last time we beat Heights. Well, tonight's 1993, a chance for us to be 3-0. And I'm excited about it and see how our kids take advantage of that opportunity. That's all you ask for in life is to have an opportunity, see if they make the most of it tonight.
Hard to believe it's been 20 years since Sterling's gone, even with some of the teams in the past that has gone this far. Without having one in the L column, so to speak.
Well, you hope that happens because we've got history in our hands. The soccer team beat Haddon Heights the other night, first time since 1996. So hopefully we can get 93 tonight.
All right, Coach, best of luck tonight. And we'll talk to you next week in another edition of the Coach Show. But again, Coach, best of luck.
All right, thank you, guys. I appreciate everything you guys do, and go Knights.
All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of the Coach Show right here on Sterling High School Radio. For Tad Kozineski, I'm Rob Strauss. We'll see you next time. Stay tuned for kickoff coming up shortly right here on WSHS Sterling High School Radio.